Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Dallas Greenway is opening up our new series, After You. We will be looking at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 37, and also about what humility really looks like in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Dallas will be talking about how living selflessly starts with noticing others' needs. We hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, guys. I hope you're doing well. It's been 2 weeks since I've taught, which first week we had Matt teaching. Matt Densky was in here, which was phenomenal. And then last week we had Rachel giving her first real message. And I forgot to tell you guys, but Rachel is, this is not a good thing. I don't know why I kind of perked up. But she is sick today. She kind of stinks. So she was like, I threw up multiple times. And I said, just stop there, okay? The graphic nature of what you're saying is not great for me, okay? So Rachel's not here. So maybe in your small group, be sure to pray for her. And hopefully she'll be good for tonight. She's got to be back here in high school and all that stuff. But yeah, so we missed her this morning. But so I'm back, and we are starting a new series called After You, all right? That's what the little new video music, it always comes with a new series, right? Wow, what is that for? Just, you're so excited? Oh, your little claps? Okay, thank you, Evie. Does anybody want to take a stab at why this series would be called After You? Does anybody want to take a stab at that? John Connor, firsthand. Maybe after Jesus? Okay, like we come after Jesus, we are after you. Okay, I get that one. JT? Okay, well, I think we're done there, everybody. He said, putting others before yourself. Have you ever held the door for somebody and they've been like, oh, no, I can't. And what do you sometimes say to them if you're really proper with your English? Oh, no, after you, right? I insist, after you. Now, that was kind of how my parents told me to say it, right? We probably don't say that in 2019. But I was kind of thinking, like, maybe they do it still in other countries, like, especially where they would have, like, I don't know, a British accent, right? So here's what I want you to try and maybe just practice with me, but saying after you in a British accent, okay? So after you, no, I insist. All right, so on the count of three, I want you to give me your best after you in a British accent, okay? United Kingdom, well, I guess that includes like Ireland and some other stuff. Just stick British, okay? British, after you on the count of three. One, two, three. After you, sir. That still is like old English, some of those old Englishy shows. Maybe they say that. But yeah, the idea is after you, putting others first. And if you need help remembering what it's about, you'll notice on the screen in the logo is a little door, right? So imagine you're just holding the door for somebody, especially if you go to Chick-fil-A, you need to do this, okay? When you're getting that Christian chicken, the least you can do is hold the door for a sweet old lady and say, no, ma'am, after you, okay? Or do it with a British accent and really confuse her, right? And then she gets into a conversation with you and you have to keep the accent up, okay? Or else you were just a liar and made that lady think that you were British and you're actually not, right? Okay, so do that and let us know how it works. Seriously, I don't know if you've ever been caught, like, faking an accent and then you had to keep it up, but it's difficult, okay? It's very difficult. So we're in this series called After You, and the whole idea is having this kind of, like, after you mindset, right? And really, we're going to see from the life of Jesus that we're called to say after you in more than just a, hey, door-holding situation, but that Jesus and everything he did, he was putting others before himself, and he was putting God the Father before himself and saying, no, I insist after you. But that's totally contrary to our culture, right? Our culture is so about just us getting ours, whatever we want at any moment in the day. We should be able to like order it from Amazon or pop it in a microwave or Google it on our cell phones or iPads or steal my parents' phone and do that on their phone, right? Like we live in a culture that's all about us getting ours at any moment of the day to the point where this is becoming more and more rare and countercultural. And different. Like, oh, Lord, are you buzzing us? So is that the microwave? Is my Hot Pocket done, right? Is my, do you guys even eat Hot Pockets anymore? You probably don't. This could get us down a really slippery slope rabbit trail where we will never come back from talking about the things we heat up in a microwave. All right, So this after you mindset, it is so countercultural. Here's the thing that I've noticed just, so this year, this probably makes me sound old. This year is my 10-year high school reunion. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. So, and here's the deal. And maybe this is still true for some of you guys. Sorry, I'm very young, 30. Yeah, I'm not even 30 years old yet, Brian. So there's that. Now listen, I've noticed a shift just in the time since I was in school. And some of you, here's what you're probably finding, is that the way you're living right now, and you would say, like, I'm a Christian. Yes, I believe in Jesus. I mean, I come to church every Sunday. And I would say, I'm a Christian, right? But you may be feeling right now that my life doesn't really look much different from the people that I sit next to in school or that I'm on a sports team with or the kids down the street in my neighborhood, right? My life doesn't look that different. And maybe you've found yourself wondering, like, why? What's the point? What's the deal? And I think when I was in school, there really were, like, it was not a thing to be a Christian. Like, everybody was pretty much a Christian. That's becoming less and less the case now. And everybody really kind of lived, like, the same basic life. Unless you were just, like, a hardcore, like, Jesus-freak Christian, right? But I think now, more than ever, if you are a Christian, if you're somebody who's believed in and trust in Jesus, that if you really were to live the way that he's calling you to live, and not in like a, hey, you need to wear sandals and wear a robe kind of way, right? But if you really lived in a way that took this after you mindset and actually put it into action, I think that you would stand out. I think that people would know that you're different. I think that you would look way radically different from the me culture of our day. But it's a fight, it's a battle, and it was a fight and a battle for even Jesus' own disciples, the guys who walked with him every single day and saw him teach and do miracles that some of us, we wish we were there to see, right? So this whole me second, you first, this whole after you mindset, this whole servant mindset, it's not just a nice thing, but it's actually what Jesus modeled for us in the scriptures, right? And one place that you can go that maybe would be like your life verses, if you really were paying attention to it, right, would be in Philippians chapter 2, where we see just a perfect showing or example of Jesus laying his life down for us and a challenge, a call, a charge from the Apostle Paul for us to do the same. And that's where we kind of start in verses 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter 2. Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So what's he saying? He's saying that this life is not meant for you to be about you. This life is not meant for you to just do whatever you want, whenever you want, to get whatever you want, whenever you want. This life is actually more about putting others first. And yes, you have to take care of yourself. Yes, you have to make sure you're resting and healthy and all that stuff. We're not saying just, completely forget about yourself. Don't do anything. You know, quit wearing deodorant. Please start wearing deodorant. Please, some of you in here. Brock Huff, please start wearing deodorant. So you need to take care of yourself, right? You need to take care of yourself. But Paul is saying, but the way that Jesus showed us is far more about us serving and loving others well and serving and loving God well. He keeps going and talks about Jesus at this point in the next few verses. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. Have this mind of serving others and putting others first, this after you mindset, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Again, these could be like your life, this could be your life verse, right? Your life passage right here. But he's saying Jesus, who could have played the God card at any moment of his life, all throughout his life, here's what he did. Instead of playing the God card, he humbled himself and put away his God powers, right? His God card. He put it away for a time So much so that he took on flesh, became a man, and he didn't just start like, hey, I think I'll show up as like a 30-year-old dude, like knows everything that there is and nobody. No, he started as a baby, right? He came and was a baby, pooping and having a, you know, they didn't have like diapers like we have today, right? It was a messy thing. This is church, but this is, that's how Jesus came, in the form of a baby. And experienced many of the things that we experience, all the things that we experience, the temptations, the hardships of life. He lived the perfect life that none of us can live and died a death that we deserved. He humbled himself. He was so much of a servant that he died for us. He gave up his life for us, not just in how he lived, but in how he died. And now the call for us is to follow in Jesus' footsteps. And what happens at the end of Jesus' life? Because of how he humbled himself, because of the servant lifestyle that he lived, because he was always obedient to God the Father, he was raised up, and his name is now above every name. He's greater than all of it. He put himself last in every situation, and now he is first in every situation. Above everything and everyone is Jesus. And Paul says that this is now to be true of us. Not that we would be first and foremost above everything, but that we would serve like Jesus served. How do we do that? I mean, I know that I'm super selfish, right? This is all about being selfless, and I know that I'm super duper selfish. In fact, if I could, right, this would be like my dream, just my life situation. If I didn't have to worry about getting like weird sores on my body because I laid on the couch too long, right? But I would lay on the couch forever, and I would just play video games and have somebody just every like 15 seconds just pop a Thin Mint Girl Scout cookie into my mouth, right? And just let me chew on it. Like if I could just gain no weight, just serve me, okay? If I'm being honest, that's what I want my life to be, is other people serving me at all times and never having to be concerned about others, really. Like, because I'm super selfish. And in fact, here's what I want you to do. This is kind of, there's two tests I'm about to give you. The first one is this. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you say, not 1 to Jesus, I almost did that, right? But 1 to 10, where would you say you are as far as being a good servant of others? How well do you serve other people on a scale of 1 to 10 compared to how well you serve yourself, right? You don't have to answer this. This is just for you to keep to yourself. I would put myself at like a 3. Maybe like a 3.3, right? Like give myself a little bit of slack. But I just told you, my dream life scenario is Thin Mints. I got the TV remote in my hand, right? I watch whatever I want. It's for other people to serve me. Now, some of you, maybe you would say like, no, I think I'm like a 6 or 7. Because some of you are so much more naturally bent towards the needs of other people, right? I don't know if it's that you just see it more clearly. I think that's part of it. But for some reason, you're more naturally bent to think about other people, to want to serve other people. And I wish that I was more like you. I really do. Thankfully, though, that wish doesn't just have to be a wish. Actually, what we read in Philippians is that now because of Jesus, we actually do have new desires. Probably more at this point, and maybe some of us becoming a dad, some of us just walking with Jesus for a few more years, but more than ever now, I actually do think about other people, right? Contrary to popular belief, even my own belief. I do think about others in a different way. I do see them maybe in a little bit more the same way that God sees them. And I do have these new desires to serve people, and you do too, if you're a son or a daughter of God. See, because you've been given a whole new life. You've been made a new creation. You've got new desires. And yes, you still are struggling against some of the old ones. Like, yeah, I wish that somebody would feed me those Thin Mints like that, right? But now there are these new desires where, no, I know now that life is not just about me. And if you are a Christian too, hopefully your eyes have been opened at least a peep to see that life is no longer just about you either. So the first thing was, hey, well, where would you put yourself on that scale, right? Maybe by the end of this series, you will have moved like a notch down the scale and be a little more mindful of others, right? The second question, though, is this, is that being like mindful of people? Is how aware do you think you are, not how good you are at serving, but even how aware do you think you are that other people around you have needs? Or is your whole life just you thinking about your own needs and your own struggles and your own stuff. How aware are you? I actually have, it's not a serving awareness test, okay? But it is an awareness test. So watch this video and let's see just how aware you are of your surroundings, all right? So see if you can count these passes. Let's see if you get it right. You may be super aware if you're able to count these passes. All right, how many? 13, that's pretty good. That's pretty aware, at least of what you're paying attention to. Did you see the moonwalking bear? Some of you saw it. So playing it back again, this time don't pay attention to the passes. Just look for this bear. There he is. It's a very creepy looking bear. I've never seen a bear like that in my life. All right. So how many of you would say you saw the bear the first time? Had you seen the video before? Maybe somebody had seen it? Yeah. How many of you did not see the bear the first time, right? That was me. I was 100% looking for the passes, right? And here's the deal with that. We walk around all of our lives, some of us, and all we're focused on is not the passes, but all we're focused on is ourselves. We walk around completely focused on ourselves to the point where we miss everything else going on around us. Have you ever been in your room and like doing something? Maybe it was something noble, like homework, right? But probably not. Probably you were like on a device or playing games or maybe a noble thing like reading. I don't know. But have you ever been in your room occupied with something and your mom comes up the stairs or your dad or whoever you live with and they are livid, right? They are angry. Why? Because they've been calling your name for 15 minutes and you haven't responded at all, right? And dinner's getting cold and they are angry, right? Or maybe you've had it happen in another situation in class or whatever it might be where you were completely oblivious to everything happening around you. I think that that's how a lot of us are when it comes to life and even starting to notice the needs of other people that are around us. Sometimes we're so concerned, and we're concerned with things that are going like wrong in our lives, things that need to be fixed, and how are we going to solve these problems, and how are we going to make sure that our relationships with other people are going well, right? Like we're concerned with real things. It's not to belittle the things that you're going through, but you completely neglect the needs of other people around you. Like there's somebody who you sit next to maybe every day, and you've talked to a couple of times, but for the most part, you would say that person has all of their stuff together, right? Seems like they've got a healthy family life. Their grades are doing well. Maybe even like they're an incredible athlete. And it seems like they've got everything together. And you would think, well, you know, yeah, they're just a normal dude. But you've never really engaged with them on real life stuff. And so you completely miss that their parents are going through an incredibly difficult divorce, right? Or there's the lonely kid in whatever situation that is, right? Maybe it's even here at church. There's somebody who constantly sits by themselves and is kind of in the back. And you just think, well, that they just like that, right? Like they want to be away from people. And maybe that's part of it. But if you actually started to dig deeper, you might find out that, yeah, they sort of separated themselves because, you know, they don't know anybody or whatever it may be. But they're actually going through the loneliest season of their life. It's not a good thing. It's mostly because, yeah, they did distance themselves, but it's more because nobody's even thought to reach out to them and become a friend. How aware are you, how aware am I of the needs of others around us? I would say that if we're really going to serve others like Jesus served others, then we've got to ask him to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to open our ears, be able to hear and see and even feel sometimes the needs of those around us and stop being so concerned with ourselves. Jesus lived the fullest life possible. And at every moment of his life, you know what he was most concerned with? Bringing glory to God and loving others well, serving others. Never for a moment was he way more concerned with himself and him getting his. Even to the point of death, was Jesus. Jesus tried to help his disciples see this. Remember, he had his closest buddies, the disciples, and there were 12 of them that followed him around and knew him the best, right? And Jesus, remember, he was teaching, and not only was he teaching, see, there were plenty of people who were teaching when Jesus was alive, but most of them were doing it for the wrong reasons. They were doing it to get theirs, to get status, to get power, to get wealth. They were doing it for all the wrong reasons, but Jesus, not only did he take the things that they were teaching and flip them upside down and show people what was true, but everywhere Jesus went, he was able to back up his talk with his walk. You guys ever heard that? Like, don't talk the talk if you can't walk the walk. At every moment, the things that Jesus was teaching and preaching about, he was backing it up with how he lived. He was. So he was teaching and preaching about serving others, and he was doing that everywhere he went. That's what made Jesus different. He was flipping things upside down that people previously thought were true, and then he was also living out the life that he was talking about, right? And so he did this over and over again in front of his disciples, and eventually he tells his disciples, hey, I'm going to send you guys on a short-term mission trip, right? Kind of like we're going on to Lexington in a few months. And so he sends them out in twos, and he tells them, hey, go and teach the things that I've been teaching you. Go and pray for people. Go and heal people. Even go and cast out demons. He says, go and do the things that you've seen me do and heard me do. Go and do that for other people. So they go, and they come back, and they've got incredible stories, kind of like when we went to Lexington this past year and had a bunch of stories to share. They come back, and they're sharing stories with Jesus, and we pick up this story in Mark chapter 6, if you want to turn your Bibles there real quick, or you can look on the screen. Mark chapter 6, verse 30, right? So the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Obviously, a lot to share, right? But you guys know that once you return from a big trip like this, as exciting as it was, even if it was like epic that some of you guys were on this past year or believe this next weekend, they're great trips. There's a lot to talk about, but they're also tiring, right? Like it's time to crash. It's time to sleep. So they're sharing with Jesus all they had done and taught. But then like, hey, we kind of need some rest, right? And Jesus recognizes this. So verse 31 says, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So very little time for rest. Jesus knew they needed it. I mean, what is Jesus doing in this moment? He's serving them, right? Jesus recognizes their need for rest and calls them, hey, come away, let's go rest a little bit. Sounds good, Jesus, I'm in, right? Verse 32, and they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. They're making their way until this happens. Now many saw, and this was just like many people around, right? They saw them going and recognized them. Hey, there's Jesus. There's his disciples, right? And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Got to the place they were headed. When he, Jesus, went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now remember, right? This is the same story. There wasn't like some dramatic turn, and all of a sudden we're in another story. The disciples are still there, tired, ready for sleep, ready for rest. And Jesus is serving them, saying, hey, come on, I got a plan, let's go, let's do this thing. I've got plenty of rest waiting for you guys. But a crowd of people gets to this destination before Jesus and his disciples do. And what does Jesus do? Just like he was always looking out to serve others, he served the disciples, and now he's ready to serve this crowd. Disciples are probably like, are you serious? Right? Jesus, I thought you had like some pillows and some thin mints. Like, I thought we were going to rest, right? And Jesus gets out and starts teaching to this crowd. And understandably, the disciples were probably a little irritated, right? But, I mean, at least they kind of seem to be paying attention to the right things still. So verse 35 says, and when it grew late, the disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. So, hey, it's getting late. There's not a lot around here. So what should we do? Verse 36, they said, send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. So the disciples, probably a little irritated, but they're like, hey, Jesus, they don't say like, we need rest, but they're like, hey, it's getting late. These people are probably going to need rest, and they're going to need food. So, send them on their way to do that, right? Like, send them home. We do still care about these people, even though they probably are looking for some rest themselves. But send them on their way so that they can get rest, so they can get food that they need, and then, you know, of course, we can do our thing too, right? I mean, and rightly so, you do need to take care of yourself. I didn't say you completely forsake your health and all these things, not necessarily, in order to serve other people. The disciples were dead tired. They are ready for rest. They're probably craving rest. They were excited probably when Jesus said, hey, let's come away and rest. And yet Jesus uses this moment to teach them something and maybe to teach us something. Because some of you may be in here and you're like, okay, so if I'm going to live like Jesus, then I need to serve others. And if I'm going to serve others, then I need to become aware of the places where somebody needs to be served, right? Okay, I'm ready. Like, and you're hungry for it. You're excited about it. You're energized about it. But others in here are like, I know that I need to serve other people. But man, I just feel like that's all I've been doing lately. Or maybe you just feel like because of your family situation that you are completely drained and all you need to do right now is just focus on your family. And I'm not saying don't focus on your family. In fact, I don't think that Jesus is saying that either. But maybe he's saying something, if you're in that group of people, he's maybe saying something similar to what he says to the disciples. Because here's what we see in verse 37. So they said, hey, they need to go away. They need to find something to eat. What does Jesus say to them? He answered them, you give them something to eat. You've noticed this need. You're aware of it. You know how the need can be met. You meet it. As tired as you are, as ready to crash as you are, as full as your life just was. And here's what I think Jesus is saying to the disciples and to us this morning, that no matter how tired you are, how much you feel like you have on your shoulders, that your life still isn't about you. And it never was. So much so that for these disciples, rest is coming, right? Eventually, they're going to be able to rest. And I think eventually, you will get out of that season and you will be able to rest in some way, shape, or form. But Jesus reminds them that, no, life is not about you. And I will sustain you even while you're dead tired and I'm still calling you to serve people. You find them something to eat. See, here's the thing. Maybe you're thinking about serving and you already know. I don't even know if I want to talk to that kid because that could just bring me trouble. Exactly. I don't know if I want to do that thing and get out of my comfort zone because then I would be uncomfortable. Exactly. I don't know if I want to even think about engaging with that thing because my life is going to get so much messier. Exactly. Exactly. Jesus lived the most fulfilled life of all time. He also lived the messiest life of all time. He also lived one of the most dangerous lives of all time. He lived one of the most uncomfortable lives of all time, ever. And he's calling us to step into something similar. So it might mean you need to give up time playing games. It might mean you need to give up time with certain friends because you need to become a friend to somebody else. It might mean that you have to sacrifice something so that somebody else can have something because they're in a great time of need. Jesus doesn't call us to live a safe, comfortable, clean life at all times, at all moments. He calls us to get involved and engaged with the people around us and the needs around us, just like he did. And yes, there's wisdom in it, and we don't want any of you to go out and risk your lives and do any of that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, and maybe this will be a reminder for you, is our culture has become so focused on ourselves. You guys know a lot of you have cell phones, but you've at least got one in your house, right? They've all got cameras on them now. Some of them, most of them two, some of them now have three cameras. You know, the camera on the back, right? It's meant to take pictures of what you see and you can look back on it. But they put a camera on the front pretty early on, right? And the camera on the front, it was mostly meant for like FaceTime, right? Communicating with other people. But what does the camera on the front become now popular for and now most used for? Selfies. Taking a picture of myself by myself because I think that this world is all about myself. And I'm not saying that selfies are always sinful, although I think that many of them are, if you consider why you're taking that selfie. But our culture has become so much about ourselves that we are completely unaware of the needs of anyone around us. Completely unaware. And that is 1,000,000,000,000% the exact opposite of the life that Jesus has called us to. Plain and simple. If you look at your week and you're finding that your week is completely consumed with yourself, and yet you say you're a Christian, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Because you're not living the life that Jesus has called you to and that he's called me to. I've got areas in my life that I need to investigate and ask the Lord to open my eyes to, and I'd be willing to bet that so do you. So what do we do? Three simple words and then we'll get out of here, all right? Look around. Become aware. Ask God to make you aware of the needs that are around you. They are all around you. They're all around you. Discover what they are. Once you see them, once you see like, oh, man, there's a kid that nobody talks to. Maybe God's asking me to do it. Engage with them. Figure out a little bit of what the need is and then do. Maybe for some of you, all you need to do is just pray for the needs that you see around you. But I think that a lot of times, God doesn't just make you aware of a need and keep bringing it back to your mind so that you'll just think about it. But he keeps bringing that need back to your mind so that you'll actually step out and do something about it. Just like Jesus did. Living selflessly starts with becoming aware of the needs of others. And then asking God with open hands, how do you want me to engage with that? Let me pray for us. Father, break our hearts for the needs of the people around us. We are a part of this selfie generation, whether we like it or not. We are a part of this culture and this world that has become so consumed with ourselves, even to the point where some of us come to church more consumed about what we are going to get out of it and about loving you and learning about you, serving you and serving and loving others. Break our hearts over that. Help us keep our hands open. Open our eyes and our ears to the needs around us. Help us know how to engage and minister to those needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.